Welcome to Two Dope Boys and a podcast. I'm Michael Brooks.
I'm Phil McKenzie.
Two Dope Boys is a shout out from the margins. Each week we break down trends using the lens of culture to shed light on what's significant to your future and why. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing good.
Super producer Matt Leck with us. The Two Dope Boys journey continues. We had that great live show recently in Ignition One. Want to thank all of the support we're getting on social media, all of the subscriptions that are growing. Thanking everybody for spreading the word. The momentum is here. You can email us, get at us on social media anytime. Questions, thoughts, prompts, suggestions, etc. With us today, we've got some crew.
Ew.
Well, didn't even get introduced yet. Calm yourself. She's doing all sorts of weird she's doing all sorts of weird diet shit, so she's even
breaking
more
my heart.
Wild than usual.
They don't know.
That would
and
be
and I'm okay talking about it. It's true.
Miss Georgette.
Oh, hello.
Pierre.
Hello.
Or Pierre.
I know.
The Empress of Dating.
Oh my gosh,
the Sultanest of raw food.
And getting there.
Don't go all the way raw.
I did back in 2011.
All raw is honestly not healthy.
It was about healing myself holistically. It was dealing with some things.
No,
so
no,
it's the whole idea.
It could be a good
food
cleanse.
Being your poison or food being your medicine.
It could be a cleanse. It could
not
be
too
a
deep for me, man. I like Five Guys. That
the fries are amazing. That greasy bag.
If you ever watch Phil eat Five Guys and you want to look for a caption of not holistic.
I worship the Five Guys.
Man. Yes, you
I
do.
Worship the Five Guys and Five Guys.
And it's so funny too because part of it is just like my taste palate. Like I'm like ever like even when I'm eating Five Guys, I'm still like in some ways like in a like kind of like an ascetic. So I'm like I get the Five Guys burger, but I only want like onion, one slice of cheese. Like I don't. None of this sauce. I don't like all that shit.
I'm like
enjoying my cheeseburger, and then Phil's like across from me, and we're talking shop, and he's got like the two napkins palmed. He's got the thing in the middle. It's like
I want the A1,
yes,
the whole nine yards.
And, yeah.
That's if I eat it there. If I take it home, I'm getting like. Pepper sauce, like I'm adding.
I do like pepper sauce.
A little extra kick to it.
I do like
listen, y'all. I know because we were talking about what I'm not eating anymore this year offline. But listen, it's cool. It's back to that discipline. It's just I gotta not beat myself up, but no meat and weaning myself off of fish.
Well,
I'll keep it there because if I go any more deep into what I'm not eating, Phil, your eyes are going to bulge.
Well,
out
me, your
there's
head.
Nothing else.
I guess for my
yeah,
digging
no, there
in the
is.
Crates,
there's
let me recommend
more.
The 1970s classic of pseudo medicine by one of the great American icons, Dick Gregory's Cooking with Mother Nature.
Oh no!
Just
seriously.
Have water and carrots, baby. Yeah, that'll really sustain you.
See,
all
I
right, we got to get to the.
I can't
brand.
Clown Dick Gregory because he's an alpha. So
I love Dick Gregory.
Is
well,
he?
Yeah,
I don't,
of course.
I mean, Dick Gregory's
okay.
Dick Gregory's actually done even better things than being alpha.
No, there isn't anything okay, better. Sure.
He didn't go to Howard, so we're not going to go that.
He went to North. He went to Northwestern, right? All right, we got to get to the brand F up of the week, and this comes to us courtesy of the Atlanta Police Department. And I want to say that you know, with what happens with police departments, sometime. This brand F up could be a lot worse. It could be a murder. So I will just add that
no,
caveat. Yeah.
No one died in the making of this F up.
Yeah, no one died in the,
right.
Exactly. But as everybody knows, and as Georgette certainly texted, Facebook messaged me, emailed me, Instagram DM'd me, and Twitter DM'd me, Beyonce announced that she's having twins. A lot of people are very excited.
Oh, did
about
I say?
This.
Oh, I didn't send you anything, did
no,
I?
No, I'm just messing with you.
Oh, I know.
So people are very. So people are very excited about. Yeah,
I was on the other side of
I
the whole
like
responses.
I feel like you were on like this diet is slowing your reactions, girl. You better keep eating fish if you want to be able to keep up with me. Damn, we got to do radio content. Anyways, everybody is excited about Beyonce having twins. And the Atlanta Police Department put out this tweet, which was very helpful. They posted, quote, Beyonce may have everyone wanting to celebrate her pregnancy, but remember, no celebratory gunfire. Stay safe, Atlanta. Now, I legitimately, like when Phil first paraphrased this tweet for me, I thought it was actually a joke. And maybe it is a joke. I mean, it's an F up in either scenario, but I almost actually am convinced that they were being serious, which is, of course, even infinitely more demented than a misfired joke. Twitter was on them. They took the tweet down. They said, we understand the hashtag Beyonce Twitter post was inappropriate. And for that, we apologize. Before we get to everybody's reactions, super producer Matt Leck had a really interesting observation. We were gaming out the show, which is that black people are not necessarily known for their celebratory gunfire.
Yeah.
But there is a group that might be.
Well, I was just a bit confused because I didn't really understand why, if that's a thing in Georgia that people shoot guns right. in. But as a North Dakotan, I could say that if somebody was shooting a gun in a celebratory manner up straight up into the air, it would be the type of person who was like happy that Toby Keith was playing the inauguration or those sorts of things, for instance.
So there was like Taylor Swift.
It would be like, it wouldn't be like Beyonce had twins. It'd be like, oh God, guys, get out of the 22. Taylor Swift got two in the oven.
So two in the oven.
Two in the oven.
Oh, yes.
Let me just, can we just say, I mean, that's I hate funny. To say this, but I think you can see that you know, white people have different breeding differences too. We come in different formats as well. All right, take it away, guys, on the Brand F Up Atlanta PD.
So ladies first. No, yeah, you know
if
what
you can think.
Whatever.
Your juice is running through your brain.
No, you just want me to react to you all the time, Michael. I get it.
Well, that's true.
I really feel like people of color are always the ones that get quickly victimized, right? Before Michael explained it, I actually didn't even understand what point they were trying to make or what they were trying to prove. It actually made me think about last year when Beyonce performed at the Super Bowl. She performed Formation, and shortly after, all these police unions were trying to boycott her tour and not wanting to secure it, and all of a sudden you have the Atlanta Police Department joking about her having twins. I think people are always looking to capitalize behind like a Beyonce or a celebrity's name, but you know, when you say these types of things, why the fuck are they tweeting to begin with anyways? Let's start there. And then if you're going to say those types of things, I'm really no, like I get upset when
she's
you
on the master cleanse, LA,
I'm
Atlanta
not.
PD.
My juice cleanse is coming
you.
Up.
She's coming at you.
But my thing is,
she
you
can't
know,
think straight, and the cayenne got her salty.
Although my juice cleanse is coming soon, my 6-day juice cleanse.
I know.
Okay. But no, I feel like the fact that they immediately deleted that, it's like when you put those things out there, and even I have to catch some of my own shit, when you put stuff out there, you need to own it. And I think y'all missed the mark on that joke and it was insensitive, but you need to take the L on that and let people come at you because no one told you to fucking tweet to begin with. And I feel like it's all these cheap shots, but when will we stop being the cheap shots? Like, when is it going to be somebody else? That's not always a person of color. That's just my personal opinion about it.
Well, I think white people get
it. Maybe you need to be the cheap shot this time, Michael.
I'm sorry, I just can't provide that service. It's too regal for that shit.
Yeah, and I didn't really get where they... I mean, I understand where they're coming from in a way because a police department, Atlanta Police Department, is going to default to these old, tired stereotypes.
Right.
That, you know, the communities that they police are more prone to violence. They're more apt to be out of control. I mean, this is, in a way, you know, very much like the Trump narrative. Like, every time he talks about the black community, it's this, you know, hellscape of
everyone's
crime.
Excited that Beyonce's having more kids.
Everything's
it's
terrible.
Great.
Everything
Jay-Z
is
did
bad.
A great job, but you can't shoot guns.
And it's you know, it speaks to these people's biases, you know, to a certain extent. While they're trying to be funny, they're also exposing how they actually think about the communities that they police and enforce, that they're more prone to be out of control. They're more prone to be violent. They're buying into this narrative. Then I think when someone like a Trump says these things and people kind of nod their head, it's because they believe them.
Isn't that like the bigger point too, like about this kind of like jokes and offense in general? Like, you know, in some ways it's also funny because I remember like the great, you know, like PC social media wars of 2014, which even I feel vindicated at the time because I was in situations where I was usually the one saying like, guys, like the planet is melting. Like, shut the fuck up. We got bigger things to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of what side you are and whatever, you know, social media controversy we're talking about. But it seems like the bigger point is not that, not that there can't be jokes and humor and satire and everything, not at all, but it's that when someone is joking and revealing themselves, the problem isn't the joke, the problem is what's being revealed. So it's like, and I feel like that's what you were just outlining, and it's like, you know, I could imagine a world where, you know, police departments that had been radically reformed and had better relationships with, you know, the people that they're supposed to serve, like, you know, it's not like a cheeky tweet is not the problem per se. It's the ecosystem that it fits in and what it reveals.
Yeah,
and
it that's would never occur in a different environment tweet that out.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. Yeah.
So that's the brand F up. Georgette is still awake in spite of the nutritional deficiencies.
You're hating because you don't have the discipline, Michael.
Deficiencies.
See, you can't even.
Deficiencies. Well, I'm too drunk to focus, so I've been cleansing my liver with booze.
Exactly. So our favorite pastime.
Our favorite pastime. All right, now we got to get to what's up.
All right, now we want to get to what's up. And there was a big game this past weekend. Unfortunately, we won't go into the details of the game, but the Super Bowl was played just this past Sunday. Oh, Atlanta.
All I can say is I couldn't even watch it because I'm a Patriots fan and I didn't want to root for them because their connection to Trump.
Yeah, but Trump's
team. No, exactly.
So far, as of this recording, there are already two members of the Patriots that said they weren't going to meet Trump. Mm-hmm. So now I'm ticking back up.
I hope by the time
this is out, the whole team.
Well,
we know who will be there.
I don't have loyalty.
Right. He's probably running to the White House right now.
Exactly. I don't care. I'm not that deep.
The fact
about
that he didn't want to go. You know,
hopefully the brothers on the squad will do what's right.
Hope and Gronkowski reads a copy of like the Jacobin or something. And wakes up,
and they won't show up. But you know, obviously people watch the Super Bowl not only for the game but for the ads.
Indeed.
And you know, we in a creative space, so we want to kind of break that down. Not so much ad by ad, but we want to talk about the relevance of the Super Bowl as a display of marketing and creativity. You know, is it still a relevant place to have these ads? And the one that kind of stuck out to me was clearly the Mr. Clean ad.
Yeah.
You know,
we're starting on the non-woke tip.
Yeah, we just watched it here in the studio.
That's a
great ad. And it was a great ad. And one of the things I think about when I see it was the ad lived beyond the space of when I watched it. Because I simultaneously watching a game, I'm on Twitter, and there was mad memes about the Mr. Clean ad.
Right.
Like they literally have a scene of him like wringing out like a rag with some water and shit, and people turned that into a meme where they were like, Mr. Clean wringing out your girl's drawers. Like,
oh, I have not seen that.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's hilarious. Everyone
hasn't seen it. Like, they turned Mr. What was the old Mr. Me? Clean.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Mr. Clean like sounds like R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Come in your house, wax your floors, bang your wife.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was a different Mr. Clean.
In some cases, it can still work, but I think just questioning the validity of this as a space, particularly when brands and agencies are spending still millions of dollars for these ads, can that spend go in other directions?
I do. So before we jumped into Mr. Clean, which I thought was corny but funny.
I'll stop trying to pretend like you ain't feeling Mr. Clean.
I was just like, really? But
I heard you wanted to go to Hippocrates with him and do a juice cleanse.
I cannot. I have to admit, what the times when the Super Bowl was, when we looked forward to the ads, this was underwhelming. It was very underwhelming. Right. And I was following the conversations on Twitter and different articles and links that are like, make sure you catch this ad. And I was just like, where was that fucking ad? I was like, I didn't see that. I kept seeing the same thing about the European car, the Mr. Clean commercial, a lot of new series
the Alfa
dropping.
Romeo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. The new series that are coming out or movies. But I was so underwhelmed. I even started yelling at the screen, like, I hope they're done with the Fast and Furious series. I thought that a lot of it, I feel like a lot of money that's being spent for the Super Bowl, I just feel like stop waiting for the Super Bowl.
They
got to
do, they're gonna like
to be your budget,
furious,
right?
Like
don't.
Senior citizens.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
I know. It doesn't feel the same without him, to be honest. But I honestly feel like if someone told me, like, here's $5 million for a marketing budget, I'm not going to save $4 million of it for the Super Bowl. Like, you find other ways of being resourceful and more efficient. I don't think the Super Bowl is that space anymore. Unless you're going to pop out like Mr. Clean and start dancing with some girl, you know.
Yeah,
but the only commercial I could really
unless
remember.
He's here. Clean your stove.
What if he started hitting it from the back? Wouldn't that have been funny? I have to say that. She was so up on him, like, come there's on.
Yeah, it was very emasculating. Yeah, I thought Mr. Clean would be a little bit more aggressive.
No,
a little
I liked
bit more
it.
Assertive.
It was just enough.
Yeah.
But no, I just.
Well,
I,
he was assertive in the cleaning. When
that
it came
the point,
to the
right?
act, he was very passive.
But to your point, Phil, I don't think they're as relevant as they used to be. Like everything kept getting buried in within other things. I think it was really hard to focus on one or the other.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's true. I mean, look, you know, the Super Bowl obviously remains in terms of the budgets, in terms of the rating, and in terms of the game. Really one of those few things left when we kind of have talked about the proliferation of the sort of micro media landscape, the fact that there are fewer and fewer mass audiences for anything, the definition of what a blockbuster is and what a hit is really being redefined. And, you know, and we've talked in the past about how the NFL is endangered in the long term, but still, as it stands today, the Super Bowl is, I mean, I did in fact skip the game, and I happened to be in New Jersey on Sunday, and I was driving back with some folks back into Brooklyn like during the game, and we caught the last quarter on the radio, but it isn't usually like an incredibly high traffic time, but like going back through Staten Island from that, like there's a little bit of traffic. The streets are completely empty of cars. And it's like, you know, it's anecdotal, but it's like, that's the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, people, it's still an event and the ads are still something that people are looking for. The halftime show is still something people are looking into. And I think, you know, my sort of bigger concern in some ways is like, I appreciate that Budweiser, Airbnb, you know, and other companies certainly registered, you know, they took a side. They didn't stand on the sidelines, like we were always saying, and they signified that with regards to, bigotry, xenophobia, racism, story of immigration in this country, that they're not on the Trump side, and that's a positive thing. But I do think that, you know, as much as brands and advertisements have a powerful role to play in culture, I think that's kind of it, and some of them succeeded at it and some of them didn't, but from the other level of seeing like these story, you know, this mass excitement about among some people about a kind of woke Super Bowl, to me it was like we're kind of not being kosher, like in the traditional sense, in the sense that like we're mixing, like in some ways, you know, ads and branding, they play a role and they contribute, but there's only so much they could do.
Yeah.
And that's why in some ways, like I think the Mr. Clean ad, I appreciate the purpose and the politics of the Airbnb ad, but the Mr. Clean ad is the one that we'll talk about in 6 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are kind of different things. And then I think, you know, I was looking in terms of resistance, you know, resistance is, again, it's being on the streets, it's organizing, it's politics, it's getting in your congresspeople's face. And it's important not to confuse those things. The middle area is the sort of cultural statement of the halftime show. And I'm not mad at Lady Gaga, but I think that other than the fact that we know from who she is that she's very supportive of LGBTQ community and everything else, but like she didn't make a political statement. I mean, she went up and that's fine. I'm not pissed at her for it, but people were saying, you know, that every time you see thought pieces that are like, you didn't see it, But Lady Gaga actually called for a mass redistribution of wealth, if you were paying attention. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
She came out there and she said, fuck Trump, or there needs to be a mass redistribution of wealth. That's an event. You know, she went up there and she, you know, she did her thing, and that's fine. But there wasn't this big meaning that everybody seems to be looking for overall in the event. And that might be okay, but I just think that's an important reality to accept and determine moving forward of what meaning all this stuff takes on.
Yeah, and people are looking for something,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is why it's so important that brands and organizations, because it doesn't even have to be restricted to the way to a brand or marketing relationship as much as people like to fall on that sword, but any organization, people are looking for like answers. I think like right now we're in a time that not just politically, but just socially in a lot of different ways, there's a lot of chaos. You're not sure where things are going. You're trying to get your voice out there. You're looking for really to be heard. Right. And to a lot of people, these brands, when they do seem to take a line in the sand, it's an extension of them speaking out. Right. So it sort of touches something where they're like, okay, you're making that point that I would make if I had that platform. But we do have to keep the context relevant in the fact that this is still, you know, big box consumerism and capitalism. Like, to a certain extent, some of these brands are limited just by the scope of the business that they do. Regardless of what their advertising or branding might actually say. So I think it's important to kind of keep things in a particular context. What I did like, obviously beyond the Mr. Clean ad, which we've talked about, but I think the undertow of ads like that, and T-Mobile did a lot about this around like sort of like playing off of BDSM community and stuff like that. Like, they had like a couple of funny ads.
Mocking Verizon.
Yeah, mocking Verizon. Mm-hmm. Then Verizon came back on them on Twitter. But like, yeah, they did. But like, sex was being like offered up in a slightly different way. Like, they were
gotten back a little bit more to funny sex first.
Yeah.
There was a couple years there where they just were going straight up like, can we get a guy that looks like a mutant to make out with a model? You know, like,
yeah,
the
GoDaddy.
There was the real kind of,
yeah, the GoDaddy, like
old
just
beer
cheap,
commercials, the pure
exploitative stuff,
exploitative, vulgar kind of stuff. They got a little more cheeky and clever this year.
And there was a little bit more of like, I think, a woman's perspective to some of this stuff. Like,
interesting.
You know, that
which
I thought.
Which ones did you think that?
In the Mr. Clean, I think that's a woman's perspective of being like,
yes,
turned on by
the
a husband
that, yeah,
who's cleaning. You know. That's
women,
like the
do
thing.
Women actually get turned on by cleaning, Georgette? Sultaness of dating.
Stop. No, you know what it is? I think it just depends
maybe
if you're not the cleaning type, but you're doing it because you're just like, you know, this will make me happy. You just start looking at them differently. I think that could be a potential.
It's the make you happy thing.
Yeah,
not
like
the actual
who fucking
thing.
Likes to clean? Oh, well, actually, some people do. I think I'm.
I think some people do.
But, or they're like, he's listening. He's
right.
paying attention.
Yeah.
Attentiveness goes a long way.
Attentiveness does go a long way.
But I think it works on both sides, right?
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay. I know.
I'm sorry.
But I feel like men feel the same way, though.
Of course.
With women
of course. No,
you don't fucking listen.
I what? No. Oh, right. That's the male version of that. You like, I feel like you don't listen. I'm like, you fucking listen.
No, that was the Georgette version.
Yeah, no, Georgette would be much more overt with that.
But
I would be more
into
like, I think we should talk. And Georgette, I'm very fucking listening.
I know, I'm working on
new YouTube show. And you're not
I'm working on it. But no, you're right. I actually thought that was interesting when I was looking at it from the purview of a woman. I was just like, That's it. That's all I could say.
We'll take
that. He had a tight ass, too, Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Oh, yeah,
Mr.
you don't want to say nothing now, Michael.
No, I don't. Pause. Okay. All right, now we got to get to what's next. All right, so now we got to get to what's next. And I just have to say, even though I'm setting this story up, I should add the caveat that Phil was so excited about this when he first heard this.
I'm very excited.
Cannot wait to use this service. He texted me. He slid in my DMs. Facebook's messaged me. excited that this was happening.
Finally, the answers to all Phil's questions.
Exactly. And there's so many. And there's so many.
Y'all are crazy.
So basically what this is Pornhub, which is a site that I'm not familiar with, but apparently super producer Matt visits frequently, is a
site.
They
got to
leave you alone, Matt. Tell them to leave you alone.
I've always been more of an X-Videos guy myself. Pornhub's making an argument.
I don't really.
I don't watch porn at all.
Wait, before we get to
that. I torrent that voice.
I torrent.
Oh, I mean, I torrent. You need me to you just, be a girl sex operator?
Wait, you don't do porn because it's part of your cleanse or something?
No. You want me to react to your ass. No.
Oh, you're getting stressed. Maybe she'll go to some porn later.
See, Zen.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to let you finish, maybe you and then I'm going to come
maybe
back.
Maybe you should eat some chicken and watch some porn.
I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you finish.
That sounds like an amazing evening.
That sounds like an amazing event.
It sounds like the best evening you could have.
I mean, do you
I see that you don't have the Dave Chappelle problem.
I'm going to let you set up the story. Unless you want me to finish. Set up the story and I'll come back to
it. I'm going to set up the story if you guys could calm down. I know that this is a big deal for everybody, but that is so classic me. Instigate everything and be like, oh, yes, I don't know why exactly. Everybody's so worked up. So anyways, yeah, I don't look at porn. I wasn't familiar with it. I'm honestly just too spent from all the real sex I have to have time.
But
to
this
look
is
at
a
porn.
Real so point just, that you're making, Michael.
Really, I just
that's
don't
a
really,
real fucking point.
I just oh, realer than real.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, go get. Oh, don't put me on blast. Like, don't get serious all of a sudden. Go do a colonics. Don't put my business out there. Go drink some cayenne.
I tell you things
of confidence. Anyways, Pornhub, a website that I'm not familiar with, Matt loves and isn't dirty enough for Phil, is producing. I wish you could hear the nod. And I love you. Pornhub is launching a new service. And they've teamed up with a sex therapist named Dr. Laura Batito. Which totally sounds like a porn star name, of the Sexual Wellness Center. And what they're going to be doing, and I'll quote now from Engadget. This portal will provide responsible advice for information on a wide variety of topics, including what is consent, to top erotic positions for lesbians. I think I know which one Matt will be looking at, as well as more conventional information on STDs and safe sex practices.
Are those the top positions to look at or to watch?
See, this is why I've insisted that you come on mic more. Additionally, Dr. Batito will host a weekly Q&A, taking and answering questions from viewers. So this is really interesting because I think like we are at this point now and where obviously, I mean, all kidding aside, no matter how much porn you look at or don't look at, I mean, we're in such a porn saturated culture. Like I realized like, you know, my first like actual exposure to like porn in any kind of like regular way as a teenager was listening to Howard Stern, and just because he interviewed porn stars all the time, I would have had no idea who these people were, honestly, like without sort of listening to that show in the morning. And I think that, you know, these sites are obviously incredibly heavily trafficked, and there's probably still the reality that a lot of like, you know, younger sexually inexperienced people are spending an incredible amount of time on these sites. And it seems kind of benevolent and like a very smart brand proposition to just be like, well, why don't we just take the reality of the space we're in and put actually a constructive and positive spin on it? I mean, I haven't seen the content yet, obviously. It hasn't been released yet, but it seems like the instinct seems right. And it definitely strikes me too that this will probably be a whole set of other conversations that I would assume are coming in that industry as it gets more mainstream. There's going to be a whole bunch of questions about, you know, socially responsible porn and, you know, different viewpoints and how performers get paid. And I mean, it's just hard to imagine like any other consumer product, frankly, that isn't going to come into play. But I think this is a smart place for them to start.
Yeah, it actually is pretty, like, you know, once we have our fun with it, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to cover about this, because the reality is that there's a few forces going on here that many people, you know, like I remember sitting down with my parents having like the talk, you know, like kind of explaining things. But you still learn a lot of what your perceptions and ideas
I'm
around
show
sex.
My kids the Mr. Clean ad.
Show them the Mr. Clean ad, you know.
That was done, son.
It's just about, like, you learn a lot of stuff from, like, your friends and talking right. a lot of shit, and it's this imperfect right. process. And porn, when I was coming up as a teenager, was harder to come by than now, obviously. Like, you had to sneak around and try to figure out how to get it on cable. Like, it was harder.
Right.
But a lot of, like, my ideology around, for example, something like safe sex came from hip hop. Like hip hop, as much as it gets labeled, and rightfully so, as having like this very strong vein of misogyny in the late 80s and 90s when AIDS was something where you'll die. You know, like, you know, Jungle Brothers, KRS-One, Tribe Called Quest all had a positive, like, right. Yo, put on your Jimmy hat. Like,
right.
Jimmy hats back in the day was like a euphemism for like condoms and stuff like that. So that was just norm. Like, that normalized a right. lot of behavior as a young person that wouldn't otherwise have maybe been as right. normal. So I think Pornhub is moving in the right direction. You know, another person that's been in front of this for a very long time is someone by the name of Cindy Gallup, who has an organization called Make Love Not Porn,
right.
Trying to talk about people get sort of imperfect sexual information from porn.
Well, what happens is, in my sort of viewing and experiences, you order a pizza. That was fucking out. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what's he going to say?
I was like,
where's this going?
Where is this going?
The deep Georgette face that I was fucking around.
It was a real face too. No, listen. I mean, I don't watch porn. I didn't get into porn. Listen, I
always make sure Matt cleans up the cast before we record here.
I jumped into a lot of these games really late, but I actually feel like similar to your point, Phil, especially for like the young, curious kids, teenagers, even younger than being a teen. Why not have a one-stop shop? If they're going to already look for this content, it doesn't hurt to have free information about being safer.
Knowing what you're doing and enjoying yourself. Like, and the fact that consent and all of that, like, if they're literally giving you, like, if they can kind of have like a one-stop shop of like, you know, they can get and watch.
Oh, you use my words?
The, like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Sorry?
I'm listening, yeah.
What was it that I use your words?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, the one-stop shop.
If they can have a one-stop shop, which I say regularly, and Georgette stole from me, where they can, like, watch something that's really outlandish and get, you know, do their thing, but then that's also, you know, reminds me of ages ago, there was an Onion thing where they made fun, it was like, the story was something like, local teen has strange views of women formed from reading Maxim magazine. And what they did was they just did this like condensed read. It was like, well, chicks really like to be in bikinis, but what they don't like, you know, it's just like this totally delusional view that's really sexist and fucked up, that's basically just formed of a combination of like raging hormones, lack of experience, no one's talking to them realistically, and then they're reading this trash. And then, you know, that comes together in some really problematic ways. So if there's a place where it's like you're going and you're looking at it anyways, and then there's a positive feedback loop around it, I mean, that seems to me to definitely be positive.
Aren't there points, and this is my ignorance on porn, but then they say sometimes porn is even delusional. Like sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, they did this, let me try this at home in my own. Like some of that shit is not.
I don't know what kind of physical fitness you and yours are on.
I mean,
it's 100% delusional.
Right.
Part of it's delusional?
The attitude.
Standing 69s.
Yeah. Interesting.
You guys can't do that.
I'm
always amazed. What'd you say?
I would not want to be a fly in your fucking bedroom.
The lack of physical fitness.
Standing 69s. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like it's not.
Well, you're, yeah. Well,
I'm just, like Bernie Mac. Fuck all that.
You're a traditionalist.
I ain't got time for all that. Yeah. Like,
you're like JFK. Just like, hop on, get to work.
Get
I
it
hope
over
that
with.
Worked for you. It certainly did for me.
Yeah,
goodbye.
No. I agree. I think it's interesting. But I also think it's them
is there a deeper point than unrealistic? Like, was there something else
you're trying to get to? No, because when you said delusional, I remember just hearing how people looked at porn. Like, sometimes it's almost like when men say, like, when women masturbate a lot, men aren't able to keep up with a battery-operated thing. And so it was almost kind of like along those same lines. That's what I used to hear about when it came to porn. Like, you're really looking at this shit and you're just like, come on, like, this is shot for production purposes. They're going to cut it a certain way to make it seem like this shit is really going on for hours when it's like something that happened like in a second, but it seems like it happened longer. It's the smoke and mirrors. So that's why I was asking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are, you know, I think there are broader questions. Like, I read a book once called How the Brain Changes Itself by a psychiatrist who did work with neuroplasticity, and this was one of the kind of earlier books where before that became a really trendy field, and he does do actual clinical work, and you know, he definitely had the sort of like, I don't have a moral problem with porn, but it does rewire your sexual appetites.
Interesting.
And it can definitely like fuck you up and influence you in terms of like what can turn you on, forming intimacy. So I don't,
it's
you know,
important.
I think, yeah, I don't think that those are, I think that that's, I think, you know, porn is probably an area where like many other areas, there's been such a, there was this puritanical thing around porn that was interesting because it came from like religious fanatics. And then I would say a certain type of feminist brand that was like, it's just innately evil. If you look at it, you might as well go to hell or be committing sexual assault. And then I think there was this backlash against all the puritanism, but maybe in that backlash, there wasn't room to be like, well, you know, if people are getting paid and treated well and whatever turns you on, that's fine. Let's not have a moral judgment. But everything we consume and look up affects our wiring. It affects our expectations. Mm-hmm. And it's something worth having an honest conversation about, you know, and
there's another quick point I want to talk about, because we did a story, it seems like just yesterday, but it was probably many, many shows ago, so we have to go through the archives, about studies that were showing millennials are having
less sex.
I was on that episode. Oh, I remember
the
that.
Remix. Yeah. See, we're back again.
Yeah, I remember,
you know,
that.
And then sex workers' rights. Right. Like, that's another piece that I see often talked about in porn, where people ask the questions, like in a traditional feminist movement, where is the space for those who do sex work.
Sure.
Mm. You know, as when they are empowered and they sort of conflate sex work with trafficking, even though trafficking is a very serious thing, and we're not going to get into a lot of that right now for our purposes. This is not that show. But there's a woman, Melissa Gear Grant, who does a lot, who has written a lot about the differences in those spaces and trying to differentiate between one and the other in order to empower those who are doing sex work by their choice. You know, so I think there's a lot to break out in a conversation around where is porn fitting in to a lot of these different matrices, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. The education piece, the empowerment piece, our brain wiring piece, you know, it's a lot.
To my last point, to what you were saying too, Michael, I remember watching an episode of Chelsea on Netflix, her talk show, and two guys came on and they were literally talking about how they masturbated so much to porn, like they became
desensitized.
Is it impotent?
It can
impotent?
Be.
Impotent?
Like, I mean, like,
couldn't get hard.
Yeah, that's how much they were.
Could they get hard if they watched a particular type of porn that turned
them
on?
No, I think,
or they just,
I mean,
lost
like,
the ability.
I think it was to your point of like they were doing it so much, so often.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got to like, well, they had to get to the point where they stopped, and so now like they got back into a groove. But I think it's not the same. But so many years
with like real
sex, exactly.
Sex. I mean, that was a thing in the brain that changes itself. That was an interesting, because like that's a whole, I mean, again, this is just another interesting thought start off. We'll just throw out, maybe get to another time. But it's like, what's the distinction? Like, everybody has different types of sexual desires and appetites, and some of those things are considered, you know, more taboo or whatever, and some aren't. And what's the difference? And what he was kind of exploring is like, hey, you know, maybe you've been interested in doing like a standing 69 and you haven't been able to do it with your chick.
We know.
And
we
then
know.
You watch it on YouPorn and it's like, oh cool, I get to kind of like have this, this fantasy or Pornhub.
Oh, I thought he knew another site.
There is a YouPorn.
Oh, I was like, oh, Michael trying to front like he don't know these porn sites.
Oh, all,
that's why when he said that, I was just like, oh, he knows all of them.
Every single one. but my favorite is TriniTrickDaddy.org. I'm just kidding. I totally made that up. Don't get all serious. No, but the thing that he was saying was that on the flip side, what he's found clinically is that some people start to just, you know, it's like they didn't really have a genuine, you know, foot fetish. They just went and started having this overloaded sensory experience constantly, mm-hmm. and then just sort of like engaging different appetites in themselves and basically just kind of expanding what wasn't there. Almost like, you know, the same way you might get addicted to like sugar or something like that. So yeah, I mean, these are what? I didn't want to say anything, but when it comes to porn and it comes to sugar, you are in deep, my friends. All right. And that's what's next. We got to get to the crates. Favorite porn sites. Yeah. So now we got to get to the crates. These are our picks. Make you stronger, better, faster, more nimble. Culture picks. You know what it is. Tweet at us your crates at Two Dope Boys Pod or at Farflung Phil at _ Michael Brooks. Miss Georgette, because as you always say, ladies first.
Ooh, now, ladies first. Come on, queen.
Ladies first.
Oh,
hey. John Robbins, Diet for a New America.
What?
The Chakra Cleanse.
He's trying to guess what Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah. How to eat
Elijah.
To live.
Y'all are funny.
It's a classic. How to eat to live.
I'm over all of y'all.
By the brother minister.
He'll
teach you how to cut out swine.
Y'all
stop being disgusting
funny.
For the white man.
I need to be on my Obama kite surfing with Branson, okay?
Devil sure got a nice island.
I have a book and a song. You're a fool. The book that I've been recommending to people, it's really, I'm still reading it, but it's super dope, is Getting to Yes, Negotiating an Agreement Without Giving In.
Phil and I are working on a response book called Maintaining No, A Dope Boy's Guide to Never Giving In.
Stop. Yes, so that book is super dope. It's been... You know, I've been actually using it in conversations with friends that when I would hear people blow up, I'm looking at things in a different perspective. I know I can be very selfish, but this book is the book has been opening my eyes on ways where people can have common ground without feeling like they're giving up something. And so essentially that's what this book is about. And it's across businesses, marriages. I mean, you could use it in most cases. And then my song, Big Sean dropped his album last week by the time this hits air. And the first song that actually hit me before I even finished the album was No Favors featuring Eminem. And so that's my joint. Big Sean featuring Eminem, No Favors off his new album, I Decided.
So, I got, this has been, this past week or so has been big for music. Like, I just talked about Big Sean and Sampha's album drop, which is sick as hell, even though that's not my crates, but Sampha's shit is awesome. He taken an atheist to church on that one for me. Like, it's a dope record.
Okay.
But the one I want to highlight, Sid's album is also good from the internet. That joint is good. But Elbow, which is a band that not many people know here domestically. They're from the UK. They're actually one of my favorite bands. Every time they're in New York, I go to see them. So Elbow, if you're coming stateside, shoot me tickets. I will bring whiskey. We'll toast it up because I love you guys. And they dropped their new record called Little Fictions, and it's amazing from beginning to end. And can't say enough good things about Elbow, so I want to big them up. And anything you get from them will be good, but their latest one is Little Fictions. But dig into their discography, one of the best.
So I want to recommend a book that came out in the 1990s, and there's also a article in The Atlantic that's a smaller version of it, obviously, cause it's just an article, and you can go either way. Maybe, in fact, start with The Atlantic, and it's called Jihad vs. McWorld, and it was written by a guy named Benjamin Barber, And I've been thinking about it because my good friend and sometime writing partner Luke Mayville and I are writing an article right now, and hopefully will actually probably be out maybe by the time this podcast is released, kind of updating these ideas as a follow-up to our last piece in Democracy Journal. And what Jihad vs. McWorld was about was basically this idea in the 1990s that McWorld was the world of globalization, kind of corporate-driven sort of rules of the global marketplace, which produced a lot of consumer culture and obviously had really bad side consequences in terms of inequality, the environment, and kind of overrunning culture. And then jihad was the backlash. It wasn't just like an Islamic thing. It was any kind of like ethnic, religious, nationalist backlash to kind of the monoculture of McWorld. And what made the book kind of interesting at the time was that a lot of people were sort of pitting those things against each other. But what Benjamin Barber did that was different was say that both McWorld and jihad were anti-democratic. And what you really needed was some type of reformalization of commitment to civic, economic, and actual really kind of vigorous democracy in the process. So that was an interesting perspective. And I think that that's probably a book that is very deeply vindicated by the world we see today and the sort of jihad that's taken over Western politics. So I've been thinking about a lot of that in terms of writing this article and everything else. That's my pick for the week. I want to thank super producer Matt Leck. I want to thank creative instigator, creative director Sean Awan. I want to create and thank core crew member.
Thank you.
Cleanse Mistress.
Yep, I am not ashamed.
Colonics Maestro.
I did have one. You should try it.
Probably no, not.
Son.
And sort of and
I'm sensitive.
Social socially responsible porn consumer, Georgia Pierre.
Thanks for having me. Yes, always. I'm always excited to sit with y'all. Yeah, y'all are hilarious. Yeah.
We miss
good
you.
Times.
We miss you. You with us
too. I need
communion.
You to act like it, okay? Fucking act like you miss me.
You text me, then I'll fucking act like it.
Well, you could text me too.
Yeah, well, maybe you could be attentive. And I want to thank always, brother.
Another ride.
Another ride. We'll be back Thursday with On Point.